So that is an example of what is called an expert witness. Someone who has knowledge or expertise in a certain field, so they would be able to provide relevant information in a court case. Another type of witness that you'll hear about in all sorts of different versions of witnessing is an eyewitness. An eyewitness is what is typically referred to when we just simply say a witness. It's someone who has personally seen, heard, or experienced an event. Someone who was there, who experienced it firsthand, not through another person. Someone who personally witnessed the event. And this is a valuable person to have in a court of law when you're trying to get to the truth of a matter. Someone who is actually there, or if you're a good investigator or a detective, or even a good media reporter. Some of you are old enough to remember the days when that actually applied to media. So when you're trying to get to the truth of a subject, you'll want to find someone who is at the source. And you don't want their opinions. You want their observations. You want facts. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you experience? You want a witness. Let's write down a couple definitions to get us started this morning. A witness. Someone who has seen, heard, or knows by personal presence or perception. Someone who sees, who has seen, heard, or knows by personal presence and perception. Witnesses testify. That is the verb that is associated with witnesses. That is what they do. They bear witness. They testify. That's the action to give or afford evidence based on their personal presence or perception. So let's write that down. To testify, to give or afford evidence. That is why in the case of determining truth in the court of law, a reliable witness is needed to testify, to share what they have seen. Any reporter or investigator or detective that is worth their salt will seek out witnesses to testify and to share what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have personally perceived because they were present. And this is why the Gospels are so trustworthy, because those that wrote the Gospels had connection to these events. When you think of the first and the fourth Gospel, Matthew and John, they were both disciples of Jesus. They were involved in seeing the things that happened. Their testimony was the testimony of eyewitnesses, witnesses who testified to what they saw, what they heard, what they experienced firsthand. And Matthew and John were there for a majority of the events that they wrote about in their Gospels. There are a few events that happened before the disciples were officially with Jesus. And we know that John was able to experience a few extra things that Matthew didn't get a chance to experience. But for the most case, for the majority of what they wrote about, they had witnessed it firsthand. And so that makes them good sources, reliable sources of truth, because they were eyewitnesses. They saw firsthand what they wrote about in their Gospels. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard it with their own ears. They perceived it because they were personally present. They were there. Mark, the second Gospel, he received all of his information straight from Peter. And if you know a little bit about the disciples, Peter and John pretty much went everywhere together. Most of the time when you see Peter's name, John is right there with him. So anything that John saw, Peter also saw. The same things that John heard with his ears, Peter heard with his ears as well. And they perceived the same things because they were personally present in these events that they wrote about, as Mark was getting his information straight from the source, who was a witness, an eyewitness of Jesus' ministry. Luke was not there for these events. We know that Luke was the product of Paul's ministry. He came on the scene later, about 15 years after Jesus had been on the earth. And so Luke had to take a different approach. 15 years. That's later in the message. I think that attaches to something else. We'll see. Some years after Jesus had walked on the earth. So Luke took a different approach. Luke chapter 1, as he opens his gospel, he says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were what? Eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may, and who's Theophilus? A lot of people believe that that was kind of his code word for the church at large. So, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So, Luke sought out, he found eyewitnesses, and he followed their testimony closely to provide an orderly account so that those reading his orderly account would have certainty concerning the events that he wrote about, and not only the contents of his gospel, but so that they could believe also the contents of the other gospels that were floating around at that time. Witnesses who were personally present to observe the events that Luke wrote about. Witnesses who saw with their own eyes, who heard with their own ears, who experienced because they were there when the events took place. Then when John was writing his first letter, he writes this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John says that they testify, that he testifies to what he has seen and heard. What he has seen with his own eyes, heard with his own ears, touched with his own hands concerning Jesus, the Word of life, who had made manifest. God became a person. And so John was clearly a witness, and those with him as he was writing. They saw, they heard, they touched. We're called to be witnesses, aren't we? But there's a big difference. How can we be a witness of something we haven't seen? We weren't here on this earth when Jesus was. I don't think there's anyone here that old. We didn't sit in the sand on the shore surrounding the Sea of Galilee and listen to his teachings. We didn't touch the hem of his garment as the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years did. Or wash his feet with our hair as Lazarus' sister Mary did. Or put our hand into the place where they pierced his side as Thomas was invited to do. So how can we be witnesses? How can we be a witness of something we haven't seen with our own eyes or heard with our own ears or touched with our own hands? Boy, it would be so much easier to be a witness if, say, we would have been able to spend 3 years with Jesus, walking around with him, talking, sitting by a fire with him at night, seeing the miracles with our own eyes, watching how he interacted with people, hearing his teachings. It seems like that would have been so much easier to be a witness if we would have been able to experience Jesus here on earth in flesh and blood, physically. But Jesus says that it's better that he's not here. Huh? That it's to our advantage. And this is a verse we've already read in this series. Let me review it. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Like Jesus has to say that, right? It's going to be the truth no matter what he says. But when he says that, there's some emphasis placed on it. I tell you the truth. It is to your what? Last I checked, that means better, right? That means it's a step up. It's a step in a good direction. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, a church full of people that were just like you and I. The Christians in Corinth didn't hear Jesus' teachings firsthand. Nor did they see his miracles with their eyes, nor did they have a chance to touch Jesus. Here's where the 15 years was. I knew it was somewhere in my notes. Because the gospel did not reach the Corinthian church until 15 years after Jesus had ascended from this earth. So they're in the same boat as we are all here. So let's look at what Paul writes just a few years after his first visit to Corinth. He says, "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." I love that word picture that Paul creates for us, that he paints for the Corinthian church. But it's not just a picture for the Corinthian church, is it? I think that fits all of us as well, would it not? Let's write this down. I am a letter from Christ because the Spirit of the living God has written his message on my heart. The converts in the Corinthian church were witnesses because the Holy Spirit was inside of them. The Spirit of the living God, who did not write with ink or on stone tablets, but he wrote on the hearts of the believers. He wrote a letter from Christ. Let's look at that verse again, and let's break it down into some pieces and see how it applies to all believers, not just the Corinthian Christians, but all of us. And you show. I mean, we can just stop right there. You show. That's through action. You make visible, you make audible, you make tangible, you show, you exemplify. We are active participators. And if we aren't active, then there's no reason to keep on reading. Because anything that follows that isn't going to apply to anyone who's not active. Because that's important. That's how it all starts. You show. You show what's going on inside. We are active in that. If we aren't willing to let him help us to look, to act, to think, to speak like Jesus, then nothing else in this verse is going to apply to us because we aren't willing to show his activity in our lives. But if we are active, if we do show, then we can keep reading and see all of these wonderful things in there. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. Paul brought the gospel to the Corinthians, but Paul reminds them that him being the deliverer didn't mean that he was the originator of the message. The author of the testimony that is written on your hearts is Christ. Though you may have had it delivered to you through some human interaction, I mean, that's exactly how all of us would have come into contact with it. Someone shared Jesus with you. Maybe that same person baptized you. Maybe you were baptized by someone else who is also influential in your faith. And along the way, we've had teachers, we've had mentors, we've had people to pour into our faith, to disciple us, to help us to develop. But even though that letter was delivered by human hands, make no mistake about it, that letter's origin is with Christ. That means that's for all of us. Your story is rooted in a direct connection to Jesus Christ. Not just the Christian or the Christians who were influential in your faith, but Jesus personally has written on our hearts. You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The inscriptions on your heart are made by the Spirit of the living God inside of you. That's what makes you a letter from Christ. the Spirit of God, also called the Spirit of Christ, as Jesus spoke of another that was going to be the same as he was, another Jesus, another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit. And he writes on tablets of human hearts. It's still our responsibility to show. That's our choice to show this letter. But that's what's happening on the inside. We are a letter written by the Holy Spirit on our hearts. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, oh, he likes to do something. He likes to talk about Jesus. He likes to proclaim Jesus. He likes to testify about Jesus. John 15:26, another verse we've shared. A little repetition today, which is good for learning. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear what? Witness about me. So the Spirit of God, who is active in writing a message on our hearts, a letter that we are a letter from Christ, not only from Christ, but about Christ. We're a letter from Christ, about Christ, because the Holy Spirit will bear witness to Jesus. So if he's the one writing on our hearts, and this is what he likes to do, this is what he will do, is bear witness of Jesus, then we're not just a letter of Christ, we're a letter about Christ. So how does the Holy Spirit go about writing this letter on our hearts? How does that happen? We've talked about this, actually. Some of you are like, I think I've been paying attention the last few weeks. It's okay. You were Miyagi'd. Do you remember Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid movies? Yeah. Show me wax on. Wax on, wax on. No, wax on, wax on. Wax on. Wax off. Right? Sun the floor. That's the big circles. So you, in the past few weeks, you've been waxing cars. You've been painting a fence, painting a house. You've been sanding floors. How does the Spirit write this letter on our hearts? More scripture to review. John 14. These things I have spoken to you while I am with you, while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So write this down. He will help us to remember, understand, abide by, and show, and share Jesus's teachings. I've shared a few times in this series that the goal of being a Christian is to be little Jesuses everywhere. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go. You're going to do greater things than I did. Because Jesus was one person on earth. He had some things that were specifically for him to do. But Jesus said those words. You're going to do even greater things than these. And we read those words and we go, no? How? Well, this is how. It's because God now has hundreds of thousands of little Jesuses running around who know and understand Jesus' teachings because the Holy Spirit is helping them to remember them and helping them to learn them. Jesus' teachings were powerful. They provided life. And we have hundreds of thousands of people walking around with his very words, his teachings that bring life. And we understand enough that we're able to share. And not just to share verbally, but to share visibly, physically, by seeing the things that we do, hearing the things that we say, how we treat other people, as we live out the commandments, as we abide in his commandments. And if we do so, we look more and more and more and more like who? Jesus. That's the goal. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do this. Let's look at the context of Jesus' first mention of the Holy Spirit in this Last Supper conversation that he has with the disciples that John captures for us in about John 13 through 17. His first mention in this conversation, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So Jesus is thinking about his teachings. He's thinking about his commandments. If you love me, you're going to do these things. Now, Jesus knows all things. Jesus watched all of history happen thousands of years before he stepped foot on earth. And he knows we can't do it. We can't keep his commandments. If you love me, you're going to do the very thing that I know you can't do. That's confusing. But look at what Jesus says immediately following this. This is the context of his first mention in this conversation of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. One just like Jesus, a helper, a come alongside, a parakletos, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Abiding in Jesus' commandments was the context for speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. You need help. And he's on the way. And it's going to be even better than having me here on earth, because he's going to live inside of you. This next phase of God's genius plan of cultivating and developing and maintaining a relationship with all of mankind. His Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, I'm going to come down and live inside of you and help you to accomplish that. And so we are walking letters from Jesus, revealing Jesus. Letters about Jesus as we allow the Holy Spirit to write on our hearts. And he helps us to learn and understand and abide by and share all of Jesus' commandments. And why would he be limited to just what Jesus shared in the Gospels? I mean, the Spirit's God. John chapter 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what?" Is it on the screen? Yes. All things. Don't get bashful about that, man. That's exciting. He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit helps us to better understand anything that we have learned from God. Anything from the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's going to help us to understand and to put into practice and to use in our life and to be able to share with others. Anything through the teachings of Jesus and the writings of the New Testament. And he even is going to teach us some things firsthand. Because, pause for impact, profound statement on the way. Because he is God. And he can absolutely teach us about God. I mean, what part of a being knows a being better than the Spirit? That's not original. That comes from Paul as he writes to the Corinthian church. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but this exact spirit that he's talking about that knows the thoughts of God, that knows the deep things of God. That's the Spirit. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is, but the Spirit who is from God. That we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we might impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by Who? The Spirit. Interpreting spiritual truths to all those who are spiritual. You are a letter from Christ because God's very own Spirit, who knows the depths of God, who knows God's thoughts, that's who is writing on our hearts. You are taught by the very Spirit of God to understand His ways, His teachings, to apply His principles and values, to exemplify His morals and His priorities. So Holy Spirit writes on our hearts, wax on, wax off. How else have we been Miyagi'd in this series? Well, a couple of weeks ago, we read this verse. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Do you remember that verse from a few weeks ago? It's from Power to Belong, talking about the spiritual gifts that we've been given, that we have each been given at least one grace-given gift by God. And the Spirit manifests Himself. He shows up. He reveals God through those gifts. And the goal is that God would have Christians all around the world. Once again, why we're going to be able to do greater things. God's children, disciples of Jesus, who have the Holy Spirit, and not just the Holy Spirit, but who have a supernatural or a few supernatural gifts given to you by grace, not gifts you've earned, grace-given gifts, charisma, charismatic gifts. So you have hundreds of thousands of supernaturally gifted people all around the world because God dwells in each of these people individually as one Spirit, as one Lord, as one God. And we show ourselves through these gifts to be letters, every one of us, about Jesus, from Jesus, because we've allowed the Spirit to write on our hearts. So write this down. He will reveal Himself through the supernatural grace-given gifts that He gives each of us. You are a walking letter. And some of the words and sentences that form that letter come in the form of your participation in the body of Christ with your supernatural gift. If you're using your gift in tandem with other Christians who are also using their grace-given gifts, then we're using them together. And then together we show individual letters that also form a big letter, which is pretty amazing how the puzzle pieces come together. And God is revealed. God is revealed because His Spirit manifests through our gifts. The Spirit has freedom to write on our lives by writing on our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 4, another verse we've read in this series. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, if you speak, speak as if you are speaking the very words of God. Because guess what? You are. If the Holy Spirit is writing on your heart and you are speaking and that is your gift, then that is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You are speaking the words of God. If you serve, do it by the strength that the Spirit gives you, because if your gift is service, then the Holy Spirit is the power behind your service. And so do those things and know that it is not just on our own abilities, but it is God revealing Himself. It is God showing up through these supernatural gifts that He has given to us. And all of this brings glory to God through Jesus Christ, because we are letters from Jesus about Jesus as the Holy Spirit writes on our hearts. You were even Miyagi'd last week. How else does the Spirit write on our hearts? 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God if we what? Is it up there? Boy, we need it clear. Okay. Get you guys back and forth here. No one has ever seen God if we love. Good job. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We skip a few verses down to verse 16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So write this down. He will love through us, and God's supernatural love will be shown. That is another way that the Spirit writes this letter on our hearts. Love lives inside of us because God lives inside of us, and God is love. We read in Romans 5, we read Romans 5:5 last week, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So you are a letter from Christ about Christ as the Holy Spirit helps us to love like Jesus. He writes on our hearts and helps us to love like God. That supernatural love that will be shown by God's people all around the world. Not just by Jesus walking around in Galilee and Jerusalem and the areas of Judea and Samaria 2,000 years ago. But God's love will be lived through hundreds of thousands of people walking on earth from the day the Holy Spirit came down on that day of Pentecost even to today. And that only happens if we let him write that wonderful letter on our hearts and we show it. He writes love. Here's what God's love looks like. Here's how you act like Jesus. You love. Here's how you treat other people like Jesus would treat them. You love. Boy, it'd be better if we just had Jesus. No, it's better that we have Jesus inside, because he can take care of us everywhere we go. How do I love in this situation? Well, listen up. The Spirit's going to help you, because that's what he's there for. Here's how you look like Jesus. You love like Jesus. Here's how you look like the letter you should be. You love. You love with the love that God has given you. We talked earlier about how Luke was the human author of the Gospel of Luke. Luke is kind of a two-volume set. You have Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, written by Luke, and then you have Luke part two, which is the book of Acts. And it's kind of, some of you guys are old enough to recognize this name, Paul Harvey. It's the rest of the story. Yeah. So when you get into Acts, it's Luke's rest of the story. So Acts starts off with Luke. Well, the end of Luke's gospel ends like the other gospels do, with Jesus' resurrection. He stays around on earth for a little while, and a lot of different people see him, and then he ascends into heaven. And then Luke picks up on this in volume 2, which is Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." But, here's what you do get. You're not going to get the information about when, how, that. God knows that. God's got it. You don't need to worry about that. But But here's what you do get. But you will receive what? That's a tough word to read like that. You got to read power like it sounds. But you will receive power. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Well, I guess it's just talking about the apostles. What's that last part? And to the ends of the earth. That includes us. That includes all Christians. The Holy Spirit was given to us to give us the power to witness. This is one of the key purposes of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let's write this down. We are given the power to witness by the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So that we can talk about what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, what we have felt and touched and experienced. We've seen the Spirit work. We've seen evidences of the Spirit in our lives. We can talk about what we've heard with our own ears when we're reading in Scripture and the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it. That is from the Holy Spirit. And we can share what we have heard from the Spirit about what we read in the Bible. Sometimes we'll have promptings from the Holy Spirit. Our first sermon in this series was talking about different ways that the Spirit spoke to the church in the book of Acts. And he still speaks those ways today. Sometimes we'll get promptings. How many of us have ever had a story where you've had prompting from the Holy Spirit? Show of hands here. Okay? I think there's some bashful hands there. Don't be bashful. I'm talking about the Spirit. He can hear you. He's right here. We've had a prompting. Go here. Do this. Say this. See this person, call this person, whatever it might be. And when you give in to that and you're obedient to it and you call that person and you find out they were in some situation and you were just the perfect person to call them at that moment, at that time, and you realize that was the Holy Spirit. We've seen it. We've experienced it. We've experienced God moving in our lives because God lives in our lives. We know that we have been supernaturally guided. We have first-hand experience of the Spirit's involvement in our lives. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, as he continues on the verse that we've kind of vamped on all morning, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in our own selves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God to be ministers. Our sufficiency, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Skip down a few verses to verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we bear this image. We bear this image of Jesus. Get a mirror here. Can you guys see each other? Okay? A little bit. So, first of all, before I share another visual, let me apologize publicly to my mom. Last week, I used distilled water in the experiment. I tested it. Alligator clip, alligator clip, no current. Perfect. Stir some salt in there. Alligator clip, alligator clip, current. Perfect. Once I got to that point, the illustration worked. I boxed it up, brought it in. That was checked off my to-do list for Sunday. Well, then Sunday afternoon, I was thinking, what if I use Harrison water? What if I use tap water? What if our mothers were right all of those years? Because I used distilled water, I wanted to make sure that the illustration was going to work, but I didn't even think to test tap water. So out of curiosity, last Sunday, I filled my little dish, set up my whole little thing I had, filled my dish, tested, and I had a very dim light, but it was a light. So, mom was right all those years. Your moms were right all those years. So I just want to let you know, because I also don't want to be responsible for the headline, church member dies because pastor tells him it's okay to shower during a storm. So let's before I got to another illustration, I want to make sure that that one was clear. So distilled water does not carry a current. Salt water carries a great current. Tap water, don't risk it. So you can see each other. This is how a lot of people think about witnessing. We think about it totally horizontal. And what this does, it puts a lot of pressure on us. Boy, I have to have the right words for that person right there in front of me. I have to be ready for any question they might bring. I have to have enough courage to stand in front of someone and share. And we think of that as witnessing, that I have to be geared up for this one-on-one thing back and forth with another person. And kudos, because you're taking action. I appreciate that. You're saying, okay, I gotta learn the word. I gotta prepare for these questions. I gotta get ready for this. And then you go and you share just horizontally. So kudos for the effort, for sure. You are showing, you're getting out there. I'm going to present something a little different in a moment. Before we get there, some live their faith, those with that, you know, the gift for evangelism, and they have a heart for the lost, and they're all like this. Some people, they live their life like this, their faith like this. It's all towards God. It all reflects up to Him. And you know what? The Bible says that they should work out their salvation with fear and trembling. They should work out their own salvation. I'm going to focus on me and God. And that doesn't really do any good for everybody else. It does a lot of good things for you and your relationship with God, for sure. This is what worship should look like. This is what prayer should look like. We're reflecting just straight between us and God. That's us and God time. Let me suggest that if our lives were at a 45-degree angle, and you should be able to see just the white ceiling. Is that correct? Unfortunately, we don't have a skylight perfectly placed. But if we could see through the ceiling and see into the heavens, then what a 45-degree angle does is it takes the viewpoint and it points it to God. And it takes God and it reflects God to all of those in our lives. That is, the Holy Spirit is writing this letter from Jesus, about Jesus, on our hearts, on human hearts. Here's what God's word means. Here's what Jesus' teachings mean. Let me remind you of them. Let me help you to understand them. Let me help you to live them. If you love me, obey my commandments. Here's the helper to help you to live them. Help me. Let me help you to show them to others, to share them with others. Then it's not this. I have to prepare. I have to do all this. Now, there's nothing wrong with studying. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. Don't get me wrong there. But you're not tapping into the power to witness that we have unless you're a 45-degree angle. And then here's what I've learned from God. Here's what God has shown me through His word. Here's what God has taught me. Here's how I live. And we're revealing God to others. And others get a chance to see God through us. And as we allow the Spirit to write on our hearts and we give him freedom to move and work in us and our supernatural gifts, our grace-given gifts that have been given to us, and we speak, this is not how I speak. This is not how I preach. My goal every Sunday is that if I'm speaking, you're receiving things from God, and I'm just a messenger. It's not a thus saith the Lord like an Old Testament prophet. But whatever gift your gift is, because that's my gift, whatever gift your gift is, if you do it, if it's service, as Peter brought up, those two examples he brought up, if it's service, then you do it with the strength of the Spirit within you. God has written a letter on your hearts, not with ink, not on stone tablets. Don't keep it to yourself. Because we're told in Scripture that the Spirit manifests through those gifts. And as people receive service and they receive instruction and they receive encouragement, whatever your gift is, as they receive that, they're drawn to God and they see God through your gift. And as we love, it's a tough subject. But as we love, this is exhausting. When I do premarital with any couple, I tell them, this is not how you want a marriage to work, because this doesn't work. You want this. Does God want to love your spouse? Well, yeah. Does he want to use you to love your spouse? God's love to your spouse, and your spouse sees God through your love. And that works for everyone we love. Your children, your coworkers, your enemies. And we live in such a way that we reveal God. There's a lot of pressure here. You know why? Because we're telling the helper, I got this. Think about that. When we live like this, we're telling God who lives inside of us, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, we're saying, I got it. I'm okay. I don't need your help. There's a word for that. I don't want to be condescending. I'll just say it from down here. That way I'm not speaking down to you. I even face this way because it's for all of us. That's stupid. It is. You have the power of God living inside of you. Say, man, I need you to come along. Help me. Help me to be a witness. Help me to love with your love. Help me to serve with your service. To use my gift like you would want me to use my gift, with your power empowering my gift. Help me to understand Scripture with your power of interpretation. Not just my own work and my own effort. Now, we have to put effort in. That's why Paul said, you show. We are active. But all this other stuff is happening. Let's write this down, just super simple notes. 45 degree lives. So you can write that down. That's the mirror concept. To live a 45 degree life. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so very much for all that you give to us in your word, that we can understand the gift of your Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we can tap into all of the advantages that Jesus was being for real. He said, I tell you the truth. this is going to be a great thing. Father, I thank you so much that we've been able to dive into this subject over the past few weeks. I pray that we would be more receptive to your speaking to us from inside, that we would show the letter that you are writing, that you have written and you are continuing to write on our hearts by living 45-degree lives. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his death on the cross and his resurrection. Father, we thank you for the second Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of each of us. Father, we thank you for making all of that possible. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray to you. Amen. Christians, take a moment during this next song. Talk about this subject. Jesus said, hey, my burden's light, my burden's easy. And I think a lot of us read that and we're like, I don't know who you're talking to, Jack, because ministry's not easy. Sharing the gospel's not easy. It takes a lot of courage. But I think if we get into this understanding of living a 45-degree life, we're going to connect with that and we're going to say, I get it. Jesus said, I'm going to send a helper, a come alongside. The idea of sharing a yoke with Jesus is that you're on one side and he's on the other. That's the exact picture of the Holy Spirit coming to us to be our come alongside. Inviting him in, man. Say, I don't want to resist you anymore. I don't want to say, I got this. I want you active. I want the Holy Spirit active in my life. And that means laying yourself down. That means surrendering yourself to him. And he'll take you outside your comfort zone, I guarantee you. But it's going to be great for great things.